And in 2014, I got involved with a different assignment at work. And there was a man there that was training us with some different things. And he kind of said, come up with a mission statement about yourself. You know, businesses do this all the time, mission statements. But, you know, say some things, write out a little deal that would kind of describe you. And I got to working on that and thinking about that, and I found out that I had been involved in a lot of teaching. And always when I taught, sometimes I had a lesson. I wasn't really that good at it, but I would have a Bible lesson, and when I prepared it, I would try to make it in a way that it would flow. It's kind of like Warren's prayer, and I appreciate it, that the youngest might understand. That's what I always wanted to do when I taught, is that the youngest or whoever's listening will understand what I'm trying to get across. But like I said, doing some sermons also at the fire department. We had to study streets to know where to go, fire hydrants where they were at. Taught Red Cross first aid, medic first aid when I got out to the power plant. Safety classes, they trained in OSHA lessons to give Operation Lifesaver, which was a railroad safety program, and also behavior-based safety. In my behavior-based safety, I always tried to include some kind of spiritual message. Greg will probably remember one that I had about giants, and I had Goliath in there. But ones I've tried to do with some spiritual message with my safety training. Operation Lifesaver had Foxy and Tweety Bird. You know, we had to teach the little kids about railroad safety. Had to teach bus drivers about railroad safety. So they had a different lesson. But always wanting to make it as simple as possible where it would be understood and remembered. I remember at the fire department, we would start drawing those streets and then putting hydrants down. And one of the things that was there was that we had a fire hydrant on Bland Street and a fire hydrant on Oak Street. And if you're ever called to Dickey Street, just think about Bland and Oak. Dickey met Bland under the big oak tree. That's where those fire hydrants were. So if that fire engine was going to Dickey Street, you'd be thinking Bland and Oak. Dickey met Bland on the big oak tree. Today, that might be the only thing you remember out of this lesson. I hope not. I hope those words will help you remember what this lesson was about. But I told you I was going to talk to you about my number one lesson. I want it to be as easily understood as possible. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. If I was going to teach someone And I kind of got this idea when we started studying about the atheism class. I don't know if I could ever convince an atheist what to do. But if I ever got the opportunity, I would probably come in with this part right here, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. But I know if I have somebody that's got an inkling that there might be a God and is willing to sit down and talk to me, I will probably start right here and tell him. About, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created. To me, that's the basis. If you're going to believe anything, you're going to have to believe that God did this. God put all this together. So that's where I would start. Also in verse 26, Genesis 1, verse 26 also has some important information. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now that rings a bell. That's telling whoever you're talking to that there was different personalities when he starts talking about us and our. So that's where I would go talking to somebody that's willing to listen about what God has done. And then I would turn to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We got some of the same words here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, I'm starting to understand a little bit about verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Oh, talking about the creation again. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then on down in verse 9 of this same chapter, it says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Oh, that's very important to point that out, that those that believe in him have the right to be called children of God. Very important thing to be called a child of God. And who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then it says, and the Word became flesh. So that personality was mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He was the Word. In John chapter 1. And then out here in verse 15, it says he became flesh. We're talking about Jesus Christ. And then I would turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. So when they had come together, and Jesus has already been crucified, he's already was resurrected, he's been visiting with his apostles and talking with them. And it says, and when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? There's a lot they need to understand, right? There's a lot they don't know. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So the person I'm studying with, they're going to find out that the Holy Spirit is going to guide the apostles. And that's one reason why we have the scriptures, inspired word of God. And also, Jesus is going to come back. He says he's going to come. They say he's going to come back. And then I would turn over to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. And here, I'm telling something about the gospel, this gospel that we're reading about, that we have, the good news about Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And we could go on right here with a little different thought, but here again, we're talking about the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that which the Holy Spirit is helping the apostles write. And of course, Paul is writing this. And again, verse 18 through 22, I would mention this again, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. I think somebody you're studying with needs to realize that somebody's going to suppress the truth out there. They're going to tell you a lie to get their point across, their idea across, their way across. But realize that if it's unrighteous, they're going against God's truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, and it's talking about the people of the past. It's also talking about people now. These atheists that we've been studying about. This creation is plain. This don't happen just by happenstance. There's on a system. Things are going. It started out that way. But What known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For this invisible attribute, namely his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. So, talking to somebody, they can see what man did. Could not even take this creation and realize that God had made it. Turned to other things to believe in and not God. But Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel has the power to save. The power to save. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 10. Have y'all picked up on this yet? This is my number one lesson. Chapter 1. Right, Garrett? Chapter 1. Now, if you're going to study this after you leave here, and you're thinking about talking to somebody else, and you like this idea of going this direction, it's chapter 1. No other chapters remember in your head. Chapter 1. And like if you read far enough in that chapter 1, you'll come across what we're talking about. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul writes, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. The person you're studying with will realize that God is not with the idea of all these divisions that we have in the spiritual world. The 10,000 that are out there in the world today, God is not behind that. He wants us to be of the same mind and the same judgment. No divisions. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I'm not ashamed that you are, I said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Again, there's people that's going to do that. And Paul is saying, there's no other gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. That's a double dose right there. In those verses, Paul said it twice. Let him be accursed if they try another gospel. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Because it says here, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Oh, before the world was created, what we started out in Genesis chapter 1, before God ever created, he had a plan. He had a plan. Said he chose us. In verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. Christ's blood meant something. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. It's all set forth in Christ. It's all set forth in Christ. As a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined Not individually. God didn't, before the creation of the world, say, oh, Darryl Glover's going to do this. Garen Stroud's going to do that. No. Predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. The purpose, the plan that God had to save men. In the fullness of time when Jesus came to make it happen. Oh, I love those verses. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Now we're kind of talking about how we live in this life. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Together, not separate, standing together, in spirit and mind, standing together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. And he is the head of the body, talking about Jesus. And he explains what the body is. He says the church. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all fullness of God has pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The blood of his cross. Again, talking about his sacrifice. And again, he has brought us together, and he is the head of the church. Not too long ago, we had the Catholics name their head a man. They're missing this, y'all. Jesus is the head of the church. That's who we look to. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. In other words, we're going back into the Old Testament, which we're not looking at. But the prophets, long time ago, started talking about Jesus coming. When the fullness of time comes, they're talking about Jesus coming to save man from his sins. Because until Jesus died on the cross for our sins, their sins had been moved forward. It had been passed over, kind of, but not forgiven. Always moving forward, year to year. They call that the atonement. But here it says, they have told us about this, and we have been reconciled because of Christ. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. That's important. Christ is the one speaking. Whom he appointed the heir of all things, through him also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God on the majesty on high. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Again, this comes back to each person. This person you're talking to, he needs to realize that this gospel that has been given for him to understand, Christ's blood that has been shed, he says, be doers of the word, the gospel that we've been talking about, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. Inquiring that what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you. And I guess we're included in that. They're serving us too. They're letting us know. In the things that have not been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. God has given us promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Now here we got some witnesses. Here is John the apostle, the only one that we know of died of natural causes. The rest of them, their life was taken because they preached that gospel that we've been talking about. John writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and he was seen in it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed your fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Again, you're impacted on this person you're studying with, what Jesus has done, and how important it is to have fellowship with him and fellowship with the rest of your brothers and sisters. We have to be walking in truth to have fellowship. Jude chapter 1. Of course, we know Jude don't have any other chapters but chapter 1. Verses 20 through 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. This is what it's all about. Jesus died that we may have eternal life. Probably all of us in this room are going to die one day, unless the Lord comes back before then. But there's hope. There's promises. There's eternal life. That's what Jesus died for. And we can have eternal life. But keep yourselves in the love of God while you wait. Somebody said, you know, the hard part is continuing day in and day out. That has to be made important to this person you're talking to. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. And here's John writing this letter also. Now, what we had was 16 different letters that I've read scripture from, written by 8 different persons. And they have a message for us to understand and to know. But John says, to the 7 churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And for Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He has made us a kingdom of priests, actually. There's many more scriptures that we could tie in with these that will explain. And you may, your own selves, come up with a way you would approach this. But I thought that chapter 1 would be an easy way for somebody to understand and bring these thoughts out about what's been done for them. And the plan was before the creation of the world. I'm not the brightest light bulb in the room, I know that. And that's why I always looked and cherished those that taught in a way that I could understand. And I thought, if I ever have the opportunity to teach different subjects, I would try to teach it in a way that would be easily understood. I hope this has helped. Like I say, you may add scripture to it, you may have a way of your own to line it up. But that's why I presented this, as simple as possible. Like I say, there's many scripture. Chapter 1 is easy to remember, right, Brandon? Didn't take you much, did it? Didn't wasn't much to look at. I started work on number 16.
Yeah.
Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. Talks about Jesus building his church, right? Romans 16, verse 16. Churches of Christ salutes you. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. Luke chapter 16. Verses 19 through 31. Well, I missed that verse 16, didn't I? I went three further. But it tells about the one that will be condemned, what his situation will be like in torment. In John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. That's minus 16 by 3. What did that say? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Yes. Those apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, brought us this word, the words of Jesus, and we should follow. If there's anyone at this time that needs to respond to the invitation, we would hope that you would take that opportunity. As I said, there's going to be a day that we're all going to die unless Jesus comes first. Had a good study about that the other day. How that would look when Jesus comes again. From what I understood in that study, when Jesus comes again, those that have died will come with him. And those that are alive will be called up to him. One way or the other, if we're in the Lord, whether we have died or whether we're still alive, we're going to be most happy. So if we can help you, please come as we stand and sing this song. I didn't know if I should mention this or not, but I thought I would add this about those that Christ would save. In Acts chapter 2, We have the day of Pentecost, which the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, giving them power, giving them wisdom to speak the same that they spoke that day. And down in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And what they heard was that they crucified the Son of God. And they were cut to the heart over that and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we have all these Jews that came together for the Passover. They're hanging around for Pentecost. And they're together that day, and Peter's talking. He's talking to Jews. And he tells them how to be saved, how to be forgiven of their sins. Over in chapter 8 of Acts, we have a man named Philip, verse 4. And it said that the Christians were scattered there in Jerusalem because of persecution. And they went preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did through the Holy Spirit, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many and had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Go ahead and go a little further, Brandon. But there was a man named Simon who previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somewhat great, someone mighty great. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God who is called great. And they paid attention to him because how long a time he had amazed them by his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What we have in Samaria is half Jew and half Gentile people. So chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Jews obeyed the gospel. Here in chapter 8, the Samaritans, half Jew and half Gentile, obeyed the gospel. They obeyed it the same way. They were baptized. You add 2 and 8 together and you get chapter 10 of Acts. And the story is that there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion. He was a Gentile. And Peter was sent to him. We studied about that today a little bit. Peter was sent to him. And Peter proclaimed to him the gospel. And then there in the last part of the chapter, and Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And believers from among the circumcised, that'd be the Jews, who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And this means that they were able to do something by God's power, not by man's power. And all it did was prove to the Jews that the Gentiles were accepted by God. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Thought we ought to add that because Jew, half Jew, and Gentiles all obeyed the gospel the same. They were baptized. And 2, 8, and 10. That's easy to remember. Thanks for listening to me.